This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. All right, good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host. I want to just greet you in the name of Jesus. The only reason that we exist is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who created each one of us with a plan and a purpose to fulfill while we're here on the earth, and to be with him in his eternal kingdom forever. So I pray that that's where you're heading today. And if you're not, hopefully something we say will lead you in that direction where you will know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. So I want to welcome my co-host, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne Diaz is also here this morning. She's making her way into the studio, so we'll hear from her in a minute. So Nanette. Deanne had mentioned last week that you spoke at a meeting, so we were wanting to kind of hear about that a little bit. She gave us her perspective and what the Lord spoke to her through that awesome word that you had. And so was this your, I don't think it was your first opportunity to speak, but you know, you've spoken at places before.
Over time, yeah.
Over time. But yeah, so was this any different? So you had a group of ladies there?
Yeah. No, you know, it wasn't any different. It's interesting how he, you know, he's the one that ultimately, like, you yield to, you know, you lean on. And so... when I'm in that place, it's interesting. I become a different person. I don't know how to explain it, but
that's right.
But you do, because I think he's seen more. You mm-hmm. know, he's seen more as you are just pointing him out. You know, just sharing him and sharing who he is and yes, of course, you know, you go through preparation, right? You, mm-hmm. you're diligent, you do your part,
right?
Which is, you know, getting into the word and asking him what's on his heart and what does he want to share with that particular group of people, because he knows who's going to show up and what they need to hear or what he's doing personally in their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, it was a word concerning Nathaniel and when he was called. And it's interesting that out of all the disciples, I just love what he said. And the translations are all, a lot of them are similar. And there's one or two that stick out. But I just love that he says, you are a true Israelite. Mm-hmm. And there is no deceit in you. And other translations say that there's no guile. Some say, you know, you're a man of, you know, integrity. But that just struck me, and that just stood with me for quite some time. And so that's how the message was really developed. And just being in that place of truth. And like it says in Psalm, I believe Psalm 51, because I don't have any of my notes in front of me, but how he's, you know, seeking truth in the innermost parts. Mm-hmm. And so that truth needs to be found in us, not only his truth, but the truth that we speak on, you know, the truth mm-hmm. that we live on. And even the truth within ourselves, where are we at truly?
Right.
That truth and coming clean. And so it was so much more. I mean, it just developed from and we moved in various parts of scripture and just the Holy Spirit was leading, and I was just learning more and more how to move with him. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if he moved to another side and he changed it up, just learning that I wasn't there just to prim and proper, everything mm-hmm. align, you know. I have the
all
message from
notes,
beginning and then
reading all
yeah, it was it was like yeah, he just took us on, we went on a ride with him and conviction became, as it always should, our friend. And I think that's what I found pleasure in. I found pleasure in seeing us all like welcoming that conviction, mm-hmm. but not remaining in the state that we're in and being just vulnerable and again truthful for where each and every one of us is at, mm-hmm. and to invite him in those places and invite one another in those fragile places in that transparency and say, hey, you know, I'm gonna give the truth, and from that truth there's freedom, and from that truth there is a higher place in him. You know what I mean? Another level per se in him, another taking another step with him, you know. And so there's it just so many things went on. It was a beautiful time. And I love, and I know I could probably go on and on. So Karen, this was wrong for you to like set me up like this. But
that's,
you know,
okay. I'm at the board and I can just turn your mic off.
She can, mind you, she can.
But I wouldn't.
But, you know, it was like this place. I don't know, you know, who's listening as far as like what, you know, what church they're going to, where, you know, what group they go to, whatever. The best place to be, you know, I felt like there was no judgment in the room. I felt like there was such a love, but not a love, again, to like allow you to stay where you're at, and the love of not kind of like edifying and encouraging, and, you know what I mean? It was the people that were there, I guess, were the people that needed to be there, and there was no judgment, and there was such a love, and for me, I can only speak for myself, like this unity, and all the different parts while being up there, it's like they were all up there. I wasn't the one standing. We were all standing, mm-hmm. and we were all moving in our part and in the position that God gave us and in the call. And we all gave of ourselves. We all gave him, a part of him, to the other. You know, I don't know. It was just such a sweet, mm-hmm. I think, a sweet atmosphere. And I love that. I love when you can feel unity, and I love when you can feel like freedom,
mm-hmm.
freedom for one another, you know, and a safe place and a loving place and a place that you don't remain the same.
Amen.
So.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Good to hear.
I think the people there, it was men and women, it was young teenagers. I mean, it was such a wide range of
yeah.
age and culture, and I think I told you after it was quiet when you were speaking, because I think it was so anointed by the Spirit. Mm. It was not in your flesh. It was not in your knowledge. Mm. And one of my pastors used to say he could feel the people drawing the anointing out of him. So I think that's what was happening, mm-hmm. is the people there that you handpicked and invited that all mm-hmm. came, I think they were drawing more and more and more. So as they were drawing, as we were so hungry for more of mm-hmm. what you were bringing, the Holy Spirit kept giving you more and
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
It was very powerful. Mm. I'm so glad I went.
Oh, I'm so glad you were there. Thank you
Amen.
So much.
And that was Deanne we were just hearing from. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Blessings to you today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Sean won't be with us today. He's got some personal business to take care of.
We miss you, Sean.
That's right. We miss you. And we bless you.
What is this? I show up and you're not here?
Yeah.
It's hard to get the four amigos together.
Oh, gosh.
Amen. But at least one or two of us will always be around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. So I've got a couple little things, but I guess I hope the Lord will tie this all in. But I just have to tell you about this tomato. Oh, my goodness. Because, you know, I always have some kind of weird story of sorts.
Yes.
So, you know, not to cast any aspersions on my husband. But, you know, he's got a bad habit of buying more food than he needs. Hmm. So, you know, he'll buy two tomatoes because he'll have tomato and mozzarella sandwiches. So he'll buy two, like, pretty ripe tomatoes. So to me, if I was going to do that, I would get one ripe and one that will be ripe in a few days. Hmm. But he doesn't do that. He buys them both almost overripe. So several months ago, he had, again, bought a couple of tomatoes, and he, instead of having it on the island counter where I have the fruit and vegetables, he put it over in another area of the kitchen where he has all his stuff. Mm. And I noticed it sitting there, and then after a couple of days, you know, it started to get a little bit of fuzz on it. And So I said to myself, let me just see how long this thing's going to sit here. You know, it was if, and he was around, like he had his papers, he's got the remote control for his workout machine. Everything's right there on that counter. And so here's this tomato sitting there. And so I'm just waiting. And I just said, you know what, let's just, you know, we'll have a little duke it out to see who's going to move first. So I just left it there. So every week I would take a picture of it and I would send it to my sister. And, you know, we would just laugh and, you know, just wonder how long it was going to sit there. So after, I think it was 4 weeks or so, that thing was completely flat on the counter, completely green. And there was no water left in it or anything. It was just this thing just sitting there. So anyway, we were just kind of laughing about it. So now, didn't he do it again last week? So here's another tomato, and this time it was in the proper place on the island. So again, he's got one that's perfectly good, and then the other one, you know, you have to watch this in the supermarket, because they'll put the sticker on where there's a spot that's already starting to go bad.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I noticed the spot there, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. So I'm just waiting. And then, you know, sure enough, there it's still sitting there after a week. And so I took a picture and I sent it to my sister. And I said, you know, the newest member of the family. And, you know, so we're kind of joking back and forth about it. And so this went on like two or three times. And then this morning, well, I sent her the last picture yesterday. And you know, I just said to her that the last rites were given today because my husband had to go out of town. So I knew nothing was going to happen with it. So I threw it out, you know, with its horrible bruising. And before
that
it got.
That doesn't look good. I wish you guys could see this picture.
Yes. But you can picture a tomato rotting. So I sent it to my sister and said, the last rites were given today. Rest in peace. And she said, oh, no, he's gone.
Oh, no. She thought your husband.
No, she was talking about the tomato.
Oh, no.
He's gone. I said, yeah, he had to go. She said, who did it? And I said, me, you know, because my husband went out of town today. And then she sent her condolences on Mr. Tomato with a sad face. Oh, my God. But anyway, so when that was this morning. So this is what I typed back to her. And it was out there, and I had hit send before I even had a second to think about it. Mm-hmm. So this is what I sent back to her. I said, it's unfortunate that he never achieved the purpose for which he was created. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, I put a picture there, the emoji, a tomato emoji, a tomato paste can emoji, a sandwich with tomatoes in it, and a pita bread with tomato in it. And it, so I sent it, and then I was like, wait a minute. It's unfortunate that he never achieved the purpose for which he was created. So I just began to think about how many of us are just rotting. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible way to put it. Mm. But, you know, whether we're just wasting away, or we know people that are wasting away and they're not fulfilling what God has planned for their lives. So I was kind of just thinking about that this morning. And, you know, Jeremiah, which all of us know, 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Their plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes, and I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. So then I went. A little bit later, I was thinking, I was hearing this scripture that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, what does that have to do with the tomato? So I looked in scripture. So the first mention of a scripture is always a very important thing. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, but actually, let me read verse 1 through 3, because it all goes together. Excuse me. It says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then, of course, we know the other reference, Matthew 4:4, it is written, a man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then in Luke 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the Lord said, my words are spirit and they are life. Mm. So apart from the word of God, we're like this tomato that's just going to wither away, and it's going to shrivel up, it's going to dry up, and it's not going to fulfill the purpose for which it was created. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, I think sometimes we have a tendency to look at scripture in the Old Testament of, well, those were the Israelites, and that was them, you know, my life is different, that doesn't apply to me. But it does. You know, when if the Lord tested them, he's going to test us. If he brought them through things, he's going to bring you through things. If he humbled them, he's going to humble you. And so as I was reading this, so he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. Mm-hmm. which neither you nor your ancestors had known. So I'm reading that, you know, and it says right after that, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. So I was thinking about my own life, of course, as most of us do. We think about ourselves. So I think about from the time that I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we surrender our lives to the Lord, we're starting brand new. Our life begins new, right? Everything is new. The old man has passed away. All things become new. But they're only new to the degree of the word of God that we know and believe. And Deanne, you were talking about that last week, about having to believe what the word of God says. And so I'm just thinking about the times from when I got saved, and I think about the word, how much of the word that I know and how much of the word that I believe in my own life. You know, from, you know, you hear a message, you read a scripture, and, you know, the Lord enlightens that to you. So every time God, over the years, has given me a scripture, I promise you, the only scripture and verse I can remember are the ones that God revealed to me. You know, I can read all day long, but I'm not going to remember that was in 1 Corinthians. I know it's kind of around there somewhere, but I may not know exactly. But if the Holy Spirit spoke that word to me and illuminated that, then I'm going to remember that. And I can take that word to the bank because that's the word that God gave me, you know, that I can apply to my own life. And anyway, so in this, back in Deuteronomy, when he said how the Lord led you all the way in the wilderness. So think about it. When we come to the Lord, we're in a wilderness because we don't even know where we are. We don't know what we're doing,
where we're going
or anything. So he tests us, of course. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's doing that is to see whether or not we would keep his commands. You know, whether we're in it for the long haul, are we committed? Are we committed, you know, come hell or high water? Are we going to stay with the Lord? Are we going to continue in him and with him? And it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I would just challenge you to think about all the scriptures. A lot of times when I fly, you know, when I take a trip somewhere, I'll have my paper with me and I'll just begin to write down all the scriptures that I remember, you know, chapter and verse. And I'll just spend my time doing that. And it's, I mean, you start filling up pages and like, oh my word, I can't believe that I remember that. Mm-hmm. And then the more you do it, the more the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance.
Yes.
And, anyway, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And the last thing I wanted to say on that is that a lot of times me, talking about myself, maybe you as well, you're thinking about things. So you're grinding your gears in your head, thinking about a situation and trying to figure it out and trying to reason things, you know. We have to refute all those arguments and stuff. But, you know, but we end up doing it for quite a while. And then, before we can snap out of it. But instead of thinking about the things, speak the word over the things. And, you know, we always talk about that in prayer, you know, that rather than talking about the problem,
amen,
speak what the word says. So I just want to encourage you to do that today. Find the scripture that God has already given you, or find something that applies to whatever the issue is that you're dealing with, and declare that. Speak that word out, because if the word going forth is what's going to change the situation, mm-hmm. Amen. You know, if you know, we look at the political climate. So the people with the loudest voice, the ones complaining, you know, think about it. They're like, you know, people going nuts. So they're just complaining. They're not offering anything. They're just complaining. But yet, on the other hand, think about the church that's over here. You know, God, we declare that your word is true. We declare, you know, whatever it is into any situation. So I just encourage you to do that today.
Amen. 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 And man, everything you were saying by the Spirit, it lines up. I've been standing for some situations for my brother who was incarcerated, for my husband who's having health issues and challenges, and we're trying to get his body regulated, some things for my son, like just so, you know, as intercessors and, you know, believers, we have a tendency to take the weight of the world, the weight of everybody upon our shoulders, the things going on. But as I'm praying and interceding, like, you know, it's like, God, I keep hearing, this is not your battle, mm-hmm. and you're not their provider. And he's stressing that, you know, in a Red Sea moment, we will see him do the miracle. He will bring the answer and the breakthrough if we fix our eyes on him mm-hmm. and speak the word.
Amen.
So as I was declaring yesterday, you know, getting back to the word, getting back to praying the word, but I was saying, Lord, your word, I was talking about his word. Mm-hmm. Your word is life to all who find it and health to all their flesh. Your word is spirit and truth, mm-hmm. what you just said. And the word of God, we know, and you used this in your message the other night, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Mm-hmm. For the word of God is alive and active mm-hmm. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Mm-hmm. There's no creature that is not revealed in his sight, for all things are bare and exposed to the eyes of whom we must give account. But it is the word. Mm-hmm. It is the word. And someone, maybe it was my brother, who was just released. Hallelujah. He is free. Amen. Free, free indeed.
Praise God.
And so I think he went from Florida to Georgia, from Georgia to Florida, from Florida to Georgia. Georgia is now 100% clear. God erased a four-year remaining of probation on one of the things from like 10 years ago. God wiped it out. We saw the miracle. Then unknowingly, he got transferred, picked up by a county next door who didn't want him for years and years, but he was close by, so they took him. So he was there for 2.5 weeks, but got released night before last. And he is 100% clean. And God told him, I'm cleaning the table.
Hallelujah.
He told him before. He said, I'm cleaning the table, just like Jesus went in and cleansed cleaned the tables in the
Hallelujah.
Temple. God said, I'm cleaning the table. It's just, God's doing everything he told him. But he sent me a video, and it was someone's podcast that they showed this old-time preacher. And this old-time preacher was talking about not having our prayers answered. And he's like, I get discouraged. Like, I'm like, God, why are my prayers not getting answered? I have faith. I believe. And so he went through this. It was like, you know, a few minutes. But this old-time preacher's like, you know what? He said, God took me back to the basics. He said, write it down. Make your prayer list. And I know I was taught that when I came into Christ in 1995, write it down, and find a scripture to back it up, mm-hmm. right? So he said, I started keeping my list, and I just started declaring and decreeing the word of God over my requests. And he said, one time I went to a pastor friend, and he was getting ready to speak or something. And he said, in the hotel room, he had these papers all over the bed and the chair. And he's like, what is this? These are sermon notes? He said, no, these are my prayer lists. He said, these are all the prayers and all the requests that I've brought before the Lord. And I just go go through them and I just pray the ones out that the Lord, you know, he doesn't pray every single one every single day, but he's like, these are all. And the Lord took me to my prayer book. I pulled it out this morning, and my prayer book, I have lists of people and prayer requests. And I have all these notes from prayer minute, healing rooms, prayer ministry, from other things I've gathered from churches and ministries and conferences over the years. It's like gold. Mm-hmm. It's like priceless because it's the word of God on prayer, on intercession, on declaration, on the glory, on the requests and the petitions, supplications that we make for our loved ones, for situations, for circumstances. And it's just the word, getting back to the word of God, because we just talk too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Nowadays, we just talk too much. We talk the problem. We try to figure it out. And we talk, oh, well, this can this and this. No, stop talking. Start praying.
Right.
Okay. I'm on the board of a ministry and I used to work for. And we had a board meeting last night on Zoom. And she's like, you know, this ministry was built on prayer and we need to get back to prayer. And I'm not sure how to have prayer gatherings, prayer meetings, even Zoom prayer calls or whatever. It's like getting back to prayer, but it's not praying our thoughts, not praying our opinions. It's praying the word of God, the word of God. And I'll stop there. I got some more stuff for later, but you're right on, Karen. Yeah. Right on.
Well, so even, you know, in Deuteronomy, that's what I was getting when I was reading this, that, let's see, so in verse 1, be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land. To me, that, you know, that's with, when you're walking in faith, it's like you could have hundreds of sheets of paper of prayer requests and not believe God one iota. But when you're walking in faith, that, you know, your increase, you know, you've got the prayer requests is over here. It's God, I know you've already answered that. And you're not like, oh, you know, it's been 20 years and you haven't heard my prayer yet. No, it's God, I thank you that this is already taken care of. You know, because the time, God's timing is not our timing.
Amen.
And when we can get to that place where we can completely trust in him, you know, then it becomes daily, you know, with the prayer requests that you may have. You're not looking at them as not being answered. You're looking at them as, thank you, God, that at the right time and in the right way.
Yes.
You know, I saw a video the other day that, you know, of course, everything just pops up when you're on social media.
Oh, gosh,
random stuff popping up. So here was a guy. He was in his car. You know, most people, you know, they're doing their recording when they're in the car. So he said, I was in my car the other day with my 3-year-old daughter was sitting in the back. And he said he began to pray about some family members that either weren't saved or, you know, were in some kind of way. And he said he was hooping and hollering and, you know, God, save them and, you know, bring them, you know, deliver them. And he was like, you know, just getting all heavy about it. And then he said, his daughter said, what if they don't want to change? 3-year-old.
Wow.
A 3-year-old said, what if they don't want to change? You know, that's where faith comes in, you know. Because when you're so hyper-focused on, you know, somebody else doing what you think they should do or where you think they should be, you know, it's you're praying out of, I would just say you're praying out of your flesh. And I think that he kind of, you know, said God snapped him back into reality that this was what he wanted. You know, yes, we know that God wants all men to be saved, but his prayers were not, yet even though he was hooping and hollering and being real, you know, dogmatic about it, he wasn't in faith, but you know, and it took a 3-year-old to say, what if they don't want to change, you know, and you have to be ready for that, you know, in any situation, you know, that maybe God's not going to heal someone, the way that you want him to, you have to be ready to accept that. You know, you believe what the word says, but when your faith and trust is in him, then you can rest on it.
You're going deep, Karen.
I am.
Yes. You just opened up a, well, people would say a can of worms, but no, just open up a can of, like, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not skip those parts in the scripture. Let's not skip those parts in our life. You know, because that is a situation most of the times that we come up against. And, you know, it's not that God not answering, right? And like that three-year-old precious little girl said, well, what about if they don't want to? I think in cases like that, just talking from experience, I think what happens is that it just takes longer for the answer to come. Mm-hmm. And it's like that person is choosing the longer route, mm-hmm. the harder route. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. How do you ladies feel about that? Because God is God. He heals.
Amen. Amen.
Like, there's no doubt about it, right?
Amen.
We know that through the scripture. He delivers. We know that mm-hmm. through the scriptures. And when people's heart is hardened, it's interesting because I was there the other day where he even, you know, the scripture says, let's talk about Pharaoh, how it says God hardened his heart. Mm-hmm. To fulfill his will.
Yeah.
To let him be known.
Just like Judas.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Judas was the son of, right? You know, like, these are things that are in the scriptures, and this is who God is. In order for you to know God, you need to take all parts of him, whether you understand it or not, whether you think is just or fair, mm-hmm. or, you know, what kind of God is he? He is God. Amen. Capital G, mm-hmm. capital O, and capital D. Like, he is God. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, you mentioned waiting for, you know, 20 plus years. You know, I know what it's like to wait for 20 plus years on behalf of a family member. And they just keep getting harder and harder and harder. And I just keep praying that, God, you can change that heart of, mm-hmm. you know, that hardened heart into a heart of flesh. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, again, right? Like Deanne was saying, taking the word, taking his word. And
because then you're putting the responsibility
yes,
back on God.
Yeah. Yes.
We're instead not, of yourself.
We're not praying amiss. We're not praying mm-hmm. from a soulish place, from mm-hmm. an emotional state. And even a place that we desire most, it's also giving up our desires. Mm-hmm. I remember before, I married, you know, my husband, you know, the counterfeit came, right? And so the counterfeit came before the real deal. And when the counterfeit came, my state, my emotions was, save this man. Mm. And so I remember when I heard the feedback where he says, I'm going to save him, but he's not for you. Mm-hmm. And so, wow, right? But mm-hmm. that's, again, leaning not in our understanding, but on, you know, his plans are greater. His ways are greater. We just have to lean to that. But that gave me such a peace saying, oh, wow, you are going to save him. But
yes.
He's not for me, you know, and gosh, it's just believing God and being yielded and following him, whether you understand it or not. But there's a peace that comes, there's a trust that comes, and there's an assurance that comes with mm-hmm. following him no matter mm-hmm. what.
Amen.
And I think that if we, you know, the scripture says to work out your own salvation with mm-hmm. fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. I always go back to that when I'm hyper-focused on somebody else or some situation, the Lord just brings me back to,
yes,
are you doing what I'm asking you to do?
Mm-hmm.
And, that's, you know, just kind of pay attention to that. Let's take a break real quick. I didn't realize all this time went by. Our listeners probably did, but we'll be back in a minute.
Going fast.
Set a fire inside me, a holy flame now burning, purify to make me holy.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We are back, and we are in Deuteronomy 8, primarily verse 3. Oh, sorry, 8, 1, 8. Sorry, I don't have my glasses on. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Actually, 1, 2, and 3. So, Danette, do you want to go or you want Deanne to go?
Oh, okay. No, I was just really quick because I know Deanne has something to say. So what you were mentioning about Deuteronomy 8, it's like, wow. And I just want to read it in the Voice translation. And then maybe we can tag team on what we were. So it says, remember how the eternal, your true God, led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. He did this to humble you. Okay. So there's a humbling state to test you. There's a testing period. And then I love this, to uncover your motivations, which is the truth that I was sharing this morning, which was a recap what I had shared a couple of weeks ago. And then it says, and to see if, you know, and both Karen and I highlighted this, to see if you would obey his commands. Like to see if you would do what he's telling you to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he humbled you by making you hungry. This is another thing. He gave you the hunger, right? When there was no food in the desert. So he made you hungry without food. Mm-hmm. He did that. And then it says, then he fed you with manna, a food you and your ancestors had never heard of. He did this because he wanted you to understand that what makes you truly alive is not the bread that you eat, but following every word that comes from the mouth of the Eternal One.
And that's coming from him directly Amen. To you, yes. not what he told somebody else, but what he's saying to you. And that's the, you know, I think about, you know, Deanne, your history, you know, with the Lord mm-hmm. and the, cause when, you know, when we would pray together, you know, there's almost a theme you know, that comes out of you in during the prayer time, and that these scriptures come out, these repeat scriptures. So I know that those are, you know, deeply embedded in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the same for myself and with Danette, you know, that each of us, you know, God has given each of us specific things, you know, to see if we're going to follow him, to see if we're going to take what he has given us and put it back out there. You know, where it says, he said that his word will not return to him void.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his word spoken through us, his word that is revealed to us, spoken out, is going to accomplish it. Whatever Deanne prays, it's going to accomplish what God is sending that forth to do.
Yeah, it's like the voice you believe becomes the future you live.
Amen. Hold on, wait. Can you write that down? Do you have that written?
I just turned the page.
Do you have that written down?
Yeah, because this was in my notes this morning, and that's why I turned the page, and I go, wow, it spoke to me again. And I said, the voice you believe becomes the future you live.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
And Deanne was really talking about believing last week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that voice, we want to hear the voice of Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. So it's always, here I am, Lord, speak to me. But the Lord, there was a common thread the Lord was giving me yesterday and today about the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the introduction of First Thessalonians, it says, quenching the fire of God's Spirit hinders the work of the Spirit in believers and the church. But the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit is empowered when his words, Holy Spirit empowered his words given. So it's by the Spirit. We know the scriptures of God, the word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit to man, to pen it, to write it. It was not by man. It was by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit makes us holy to live pure lives as we wait and hope for the return of Christ. But I remembered the last week when I was at the meeting with you, God gave me that scripture for you. Brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom declaring to you, but I came determined not to know anything but Christ Jesus. He is the word, the living word that became flesh and dwelt among us. But my words were in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then as I was reading the last chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning, is saying, rejoice always, 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks to God, for this is the will of God concerning you. But examine all things, firmly hold on to what is good. Reserved unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was by the Spirit. Basically is by the power, by the Spirit. It cannot be in us. It's got what we are faithful to put in us, what we are faithful to read. And like you said, those scriptures, the God was calling me to a ministry one time to lead a ministry. And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, sit down with your pen. And he said, write down every scripture that I've given you. And I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And like over 100 scriptures later, I was like, wow. He said, I've already put it in you.
Yeah.
It's in the reservoir of our spirit. Mm-hmm. It is there. And at the right time, he pulls it up and he uses it at the time that he needs to. Here with 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
You have received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Thessalonians 1, it's confirming. It's by the power of the Spirit. But the word of God is what's coming out of us. And the word of God is what comes to pass. So as one of you were speaking, God loves the person more than we ever could. And that's been my position is, God, you love him.
Yeah.
You love her. Mm-hmm. You love them more than I could ever love them. And yes, I want this, right? Mm-hmm. You're saying, this is what I want for them. This is what I want. They need to do this. They need to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Lord, you know You know the day, the hour, you know what it's going to take, and I trust you. Mm-hmm. That's where we release. God keeps saying, release, release, yeah. release them, the situation, whatever, to me. When we consecrate it to him, commit it to him, he promises to keep and establish it. Again, what does he say? He promises to keep and establish them according to his plan, will, and purpose. They do have a free will. Everyone has a free will. And it may take 2 weeks. It may take 20 years. And there are people and things I've been praying for over 20 years, 25 years, 30 years that still have not come to pass. But it doesn't matter the time. What matters is God is faithful. Amen. God is so faithful. Oh, my gosh. The very, very last the last scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, may the very God of peace sanctify you completely. I pray that your spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And it says, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it.
Mm.
Faithful, that is 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. So, again, my brother, he's known the Lord since he was 10 years old. He is now 55, going to be 56 next month. And while he's sitting in jail for almost 3 years, on and off, back and forth, everywhere, he said, as he's talking to God, desperate for God, God showed him over 200 times that he saved his life.
Mm.
Over 200 times. How is that possible?
Mm.
It's by the prayers of the saints. Mm-hmm. He said, because God showed me, because of my family praying, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, my, you know, because of the prayers that we lifted him before mm-hmm. God and released him and put him on the altar. And we've done that with many, many others in our life. And he is a miracle to be alive. And there are others in my family and other people I know, they are a miracle to be alive because of what they've done, what they've been through, the attacks of the enemy. But God's timing is perfect mm-hmm. for, you know, all the enemy went meant for evil and harm. Again, the word of God, God will divinely reverse and turn it for his good and his glory. So we can stand on the word. We can believe the word. We can, my pastor years ago told me, get a concordance, mm-hmm. get a Neve's topical Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know, these resources. It was all, get these resources and you need to go to them and you need to find scripture that line up and pertain to what you're praying and asking God for, what you're believing and standing for. Find the word of God mm-hmm. and agree. All you have to do is agree with it. Mm-hmm. Agree with the word of God. And God mm-hmm. is, there was another scripture here, God is testing the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's bringing, you know, trials and tribulations come and things come, he is looking at the heart. He is examining mm. the heart and wanting to know, okay, so what's in your heart? What's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. So, and that was the one that God gave me at your meeting last week.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, search me and know me and reveal anything in me that's not of you, and lead me into the way of everlasting. Lead me into all truth in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Lead me to all truth.
Mm. Amen. You know, is it looking at this word that Pam sent the other day, the one about the foster? Did you get that? The one about the foster kids? But I'm just going to read this real quick. I think it has something to do. It has something to do with prayer. So Pam, our friend Pam, sends out words once or twice a week. So this is from her account. She said, I was watching a movie about foster kids that are in trouble. Nothing bad, just insecure lives. One boy was telling the teacher how when he's 18, which will be soon, he'll be out on his own and maybe he'll get a job in a hardware store or something. She said, I just started to cry. I have a burden for those kids anyway. And I said, oh, Lord, I just wish I had all the money in the world and all the wisdom to help them. And he said so clearly, you do have it in me. And it was just one of those things that I knew was a direct word from the Lord. I can't stop crying. What an amazing truth. All we have to do is pray, and he will take care of it. So amazing. What a revelation about the importance of our prayers. Then I realized he sees the need first, and then he calls us to pray. We think it's our burden when it's really his. All we have to do is pray for their needs. We think we're waiting for him to act when he's waiting for me to ask. He's just so amazing. With all of our knowledge, we really know so little about him. I think we need to pay closer attention to our burdens. The Lord is using them to get us to invite him into those needs. I always remember learning that he will never violate our free will. So our prayer is really our invitation for him to act and do what he wanted to do before we even asked. Amen. Praise God. So, yeah. So he gives us the burden. Mm. We're burdened about things. And, you know, instead of looking at it as the burden itself and just being burdened, like, oh, okay, Lord, you're trying to alert me to something because you want me to talk to you about this. You want me to ask you about this so that you can move, so that you can act. He's so amazing. Mm. He's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Let's trust him more and more every day, and let's not be like the tomato that's just gonna not ever fulfill its purpose. You know, when you see somebody in your life that's like that tomato that's kind of just shriveling up, you know, offer up some prayers. Lord, you know, bring restoration to that person.
Yeah.
You know, bring revelation to that person.
Yeah. Remind them. Remind them who God is. Remind yes. them who they are. And the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, and we can do away with all that stuff too. You know, we can take a little peeler, you know, a little knife and start cutting
That's
off
right.
that mole, that part of the tomato. Because, you know, when you first see the side of mole, it's not necessarily the whole thing is taken over by the mole. It's just a part. And if we can, you know, like, oh gosh, let's help cut that part off so it has a chance, you know, to be in the sandwich, to be in the sauce, you know, to be what Karen had shared with her sister, you know. We get to partner with that. We get to be part of that. We get to see that tomato be exactly what that tomato is supposed to be. Or even in different assignments, like the sandwich, the sauce, and maybe just grabbing that tomato, having some salt and pepper and olive oil. You see that I'm hungry, right? And, you know, and just, but they get that opportunity. Wow, it's just such a beautiful picture, coming along somebody and partnering with the Lord on behalf of what he's saying in their life.
Amen. Yes, and, you know, all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, with a lot of tail-bearing, a lot of wickedness, a lot of nastiness going on. You know, let's bring forth the word of God so that he can put his salve on people's hearts and on their lives.
Amen. As I pray, and as, you know, Jesus, all that you are, and you say, Jesus, you are Redeemer, Rescuer, Savior, Lord, Master, Healer, Deliverer, Amen. Freedom, Peace, Joy, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Mm. These two things this week I've said I never said before. Jesus, you are rest. Mm. I've never called him that before.
Yes.
He is rest.
I've been in that. Mm-hmm.
And he invites us, come and enter my rest. He is rest. Mm-hmm. So how do we rest when we're busy in life? We do it in him. That's and right. The other last thing was, Jesus is hope. Amen. He is our hope, our living hope. Amen.
Amen. So we just encourage you to get in the word or just sit maybe and write down all the scriptures that you know. Scripture and verse, chapter and verse. I might do that again because I'll be taking a trip in a few weeks. So yes. I'm going to be doing that. So. All right, we're out of time for today, so God bless you all, and thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures.